Then meeting was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, The angel of death then informed him, I will extract your soul in whatever condition you wish to die. The person replied, I give you the choice. The angel of death says, I have been ordered to follow your desire. The person then says, very well, let me make wudu and perform salah. When I go into sajda, then you can extract my soul. The person began offering his salah, and when he went into sajda, his soul was extracted. As the Shaykh rahmatullah writes here, that among the excessive bounties of Allah Ta'ala is the demise of the eldest daughter of the servant, who was the wife of Hazrat Ji Maulana Muhammad Yusuf Sahib rahmatullah, who was ill. She was ill for a long period of time, and she passed away on the night of the 29th Shawwal 1366 after Hijrat. She passed away while she was performing the Maghrib Salah in the position of Sajda. We cannot thank Allah Ta'ala enough for His bounties that He has bestowed upon us. So we heard stories of two people, one a wretched soul who was oblivious of his meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unperturbed about his impending death. On the other hand, the pious Muslim, when a person is pious, he makes preparations for death. He looks forward to that day. It comes in a hadith, when a pious person is taken towards the Qabristan, he actually calls out to the people, we cannot hear, he says, Qaddimuni, Qaddimuni, that hasten and take me quickly to my resting place. So the second person was so fortunate, Allah Ta'ala actually said to Malakul Maut, give him the choice, in whichever position he wants his soul to be extracted, we shall extract his soul. So he preferred to die in salah, and in the state of sajda, his ruh was taken out. So we can only experience a beautiful death like this if we make preparations for death. If you understand the purport and the purpose of our coming into the world, and then our life should revolve around that purpose, then only we can make adequate preparations for that final day. What is the purpose of our creation? Allah says very beautifully in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I have not created mankind and jinnat except for my worship, for my servitude. So the object of our creation is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the object of our creation is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so then we should try and ensure that every action of ours, no matter how trivial or mundane the action may be, we should try and carry out in such a way that it constitutes an act of ibadat. Because in Islam, ibadat does not only mean the devotional practices and rituals such as salah, zakat, hajj, roza, etc. Rather, the concept of ibadat in Islam covers the whole of man's practical life, individual and social. So even trivial matters, when they are carried out in accordance with the sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem Sahasam, they also become acts of ibadat. So much so, that attending to the call of nature, if it is done in accordance with the sunnah, the way Nabi Sallam taught to us, what dua to read when you enter the toilet, to enter with the left foot, and to make proper istinja according to the sunnah, to sit in a proper direction, then even those few minutes spent in the toilet, they also become acts of ibadat, and they accrue reward for us. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught this sunnah to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majmain, on one occasion a mushrik came to Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, and in a sarcastic manner he said to him that allamakum nabiyukum kulla shay'in hatta al-khira'a, that what kind of a nabi have you got? Does he have to teach you everything so much so that he needs to even teach you how to go to the toilet? This is something that your mother ought to have taught you. Why does your nabi have to teach you? But Hazrat Salman Farsi radan was unfazed by the sarcasm. He replied very happily that ajal nahana an nastaqbil al-qiblata inda bawlin wa ghaitin wa astanjiya bil yamin ila akhir al-hadith. That we are honored that this nabi has even taught us how to go to the toilet. He has prohibited us from facing the Qibla or even turning our backs to the Qibla when we attend to the call of nature. And he has prohibited us from using the right hand when washing ourselves, when cleaning ourselves, after passing water or after defecating. So in this way, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us the sunnah, so even attending to the call of nature, so that even this becomes an act of ibadah. In every walk of life, we ought to emulate the sunnahs of Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to make every action of us turn into an act of ibadah. It is very easy to call out hollow slogans that yes, we have love for the Rasul of Allah, we have love for the sunnahs of Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but like they say, you should put your money where your mouth is. If you claim to have love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his sunnahs, in that case, your every action should emulate the sunnahs of Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Our walking, our talking, our eating, drinking, sleeping, our way of going to the toilet, the way we make wudu, every single action, day in, day out, should be carried out in a manner that it becomes a sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem, some emulation of the sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So then we can say that yes, we have love for Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. As Nabi Sallallahu says in one hadith, "Man ahabba sunnati faqad ahabbani, wa man ahabbani kana ma'i fil jannah." Aw kama qala li salatu sallam. That only that person has true love for me who has love for my sunnats. If he shows love for my sunnats, he has shown love for me. And when he shows love for me, then he shall enjoy my company in Jannat. Which Muslim can claim that he does not want to be in the company of Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Jannat? It is a fervent desire of every single Muslim. So the way to acquire that company of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is to lead our lifestyle according to the sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We have read as far as the qabr is concerned, the farishtas, Munkar and Nakir will appear there, put certain questions before us. One of the questions will be, مَا تَقُولُ فِي هَذَا الرَّجُلِ الَّذِي بُعِثَ فِيكُمْ. We will be shown Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the qabr, the beloved face of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and we will be asked that what do you say about this person? Who was this person? So it is obvious that if a person emulated Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in every walk of life, in his facial appearance, in all walks of life, it will become easy for him to identify and recognize Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But if that is not the case, it will become difficult for him. If a man keeps a sunnah beard on his face, emulating the beard of Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then when he's shown that handsome face in the qabr, with that beautiful beard, then obviously it will become easy for him to identify and recognize Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But when we tend to shave our beards, this crime, this sin is so serious and so grave that it is not a sin restricted to only an hour or half an hour or a few minutes. 24 hours a person is clean shaven, it means 24 hours he is engaged in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because keeping the beard, it is a sunnah in the sense that it is the way of the Anbiya. But as far as Shari'i law is concerned, it is wajib, compulsory to keep a full beard, a first length, down from the chin and on the cheeks, not to trim the beard, not to shave the beard, let it grow at least to a first length. Then we will say that we have completed this compulsory act of keeping a proper beard according to the sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There was a certain poet some time ago who lived in India. During the Mughal dynasty, even in India, Persian was a common language. People used to speak Persian. So there was a poet that wrote beautiful poetry in praise of Allah and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He became famous for his poetry. He was a renowned poet. So much so that his poetry even traveled all the way to what was known as Persia in those days, present-day Iran. So some pious person in Persia got hold of this poetry and he admired the poems written by this person in praise of Allah and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nazam, Ash'ar, Naat. So he was quite impressed. So he made up his mind that I'm going to travel to India to personally meet this poet and sit in his company because from his poetry it appears that he is a great Sufi, a great Wali of Allah. So he traveled all the way from Iran to India. He came to the town where this poet lived. He asked for directions. People showed him the house of this poet. When he got to the home, they said to him that he's not at home. He's gone to the barber for a haircut, etc. So he proceeded to the barber shop. When he got there, someone said to him, that is the poet sitting in the barber's chair. And to his utter horror, the person who he construed to be a wali of Allah, Sufi, writing such beautiful poetry, was sitting on the barber's chair, having his beard shaven. He was having himself clean shaven. So, this man that traveled such a long distance, a long and arduous journey, expressed disappointment, and in Persian he said to this person, that Agha, Rishmi Tarashi, that oh sir, oh my master, are you busy having your beard shaven? So this poet replied to this man, he said to him, that Bale Rishmi Tarasham, Magar Dile Kase Nami Tarasham, that I may be shaving my beard, but I am not shaving the heart of anyone. I am not breaking anyone's heart. By you raising this objection, you are basically insulting me, breaking my heart, hurting my feelings. So the man replied immediately. He said to this poet, Ki are dile Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mi kharashi. That ponder, whose heart you are breaking. By letting this blade go over your face, you are moving the blade across the heart of Rasul Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In other words, when Rasul Kareem sallallahu will be informed that so and so is my ummati, yet he shaves his beard, then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam will definitely be upset and very, very hurt. So by shaving the beard, you are in fact hurting the feelings of none other than Rasul Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When this poet heard this, immediately he made tawbah and he said, Jazakallah chashma baz kardi, that Allah reward you, today you have opened my eyes. I never viewed this in this manner, that shaving the beard constitutes hurting the feelings of Rasul Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upsetting Rasul Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as if figuratively putting the razor on the heart of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From that day onwards, this poet made tawbah and he kept a full beard. So therefore, shouting out slogans is not sufficient. We have to prove that by making the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu manifest in our lives. Today many of us have become accustomed to eating our food with a knife and fork, like the enemies of Islam do so. So what an irony that we claim to love Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we eat like the enemies of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We dress like the enemies of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we become so accustomed, people begin to eat with knife and fork. In the time of Hazrat Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullahi, who was known as a walking library, Shah Sahib Rahmatullahi, Hazrat Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullahi, a prominent ustaz of hadith in Darul Ulum Deoband, on one occasion, the rector of Azhar University, Allama Rashid Raza Misri, he happened to visit Darul Ulum Deoband in those days. Shah Sahib invited him for breakfast, and in the breakfast, there were some sweetmeats that were being served, barfi, jalebi, etc. So this person, being from Egypt, an Egyptian, he was accustomed to using knife, fork, spoon, etc. He began eating the barfi or the sweetmeat with a spoon. And Shah Sahib was eating it according to the sunnah using his fingers. So, this Allama Rashid Raza Misri commented the spoon that you are using, referring to the fingers, that is the best spoon. And then he gave the benefits, why the fingers are more superior than using the spoon or knife and fork, etc., etc. He explained to the Sheikh, the Egyptian Sheikh, telling him that look at the advantages of using the fingers according to Sunnah. He said one advantage is that our fingers are flexible. The spoon is not flexible. It's made of steel. One advantage. Second advantage he mentioned, that the fingers can gauge the temperature of the food. Before you put it into your mouth, you know whether it is too hot to eat or it's a school off. If it is too hot, it will burn your lips, it will scald your tongue. So you wait for a little while to cool off. With the spoon, you cannot gauge the temperature because you are not touching the food. So you may burn your lips, burn your tongue, putting the hot piping food into your mouth. Second advantage of using the fingers. Then he said the third advantage, that the fingers are more sympathetic to the mouth. You cannot hurt or injure your lips or your tongue. The spoon sometimes might have a serrated edge or part of it damaged. It could cut your lips, cut your tongue, could hurt you, injure you. This is the third advantage. And then he said the fourth advantage, when you use your fingers and lick those morsels of food from the fingers, you truly enjoy the taste of the food. You find it more delicious. You are consuming the food, all the tiny particles from your fingers, by licking your fingers, which is also a sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem Sa'azam, after you eat, to lick the fingers. That is why you find some of the chicken companies, what is their slogan? Finger licking good. It shows that when something is eaten with the fingers, then a person finds it more delicious and more enjoyable. So this is the fourth advantage. That by eating with the fingers, you find the food also more delicious, more tasty. Shah Sahib gave these four reasons. I sometimes add a fifth reason. That the fifth reason, advantage, is that you can leave your spoon behind at home. You only leave your fingers behind. If you're accustomed to eating with a spoon, you're invited somewhere, you've forgotten your spoon, knife and fork, you'll find yourself uncomfortable. So you can forget your spoon, knife and fork at home, but you can't forget your fingers. Unfortunately, today we hear that some ladies have become so accustomed to eating with knife, fork and spoon when they're invited for walimas or for wedding functions. In their bags that ladies normally tend to carry, in a little pouch, they carry their fork, knife and spoon with them, that in case it's not provided, we will use this to eat with. That is how far we have gone, distant we have become from the sunnahs of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore we should emulate the sunnahs of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inviting someone to the home is also a sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A stranger comes into the town, many a time people just ignore the strangers, but it is also a sunnah. You find a new person to the town, it is meal time, someone should go forward, where you come from by, can we take you home for a meal? At least show that hospitality. Arabs were very hospitable. In fact, Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah used to say that the Arabs used to have three types of dawats. When they invite someone, three types of invitations. One was called Dawatul Arab, the second was Dawatul Ashraf, and the third was Dawatul Kilab. The first one, Dawatul Arab, is like the normal invitation, like we also invite guests to the home, and the host will also sit down together with the guest on the dasturkhan to partake of the meal, join the guest. That is called Dawatul Arab, normal custom of the Arab people also. But another type of Dawat in the Arab countries, Dawatul Ashraf. The dawat of honorable hosts. What is that dawat? That the host places the food before the guest and then it disappears into the kitchen or to another room, leaving the guest comfortable. Sometimes the host is sitting together, then the guest wants to eat a bit more, but he feels uncomfortable that I'm being watched. So leave the food, go away, let him eat to his delight as much as he wants to. That is dawatul ashraf. And the third type, dawatul kilab. The dawat of the dogs. What is dawat of the dogs? That you put the food for the guest, you neither sit down with him to eat, neither do you disappear, but you keep looking over his shoulders, how much has he eaten, and how much is still left for me, for the family. Because many a time we have dawats, and we wait in anticipation, especially the women folk, that perhaps I won't have to cook for the next 2 or 3 days, if food gets left over. So that is dawatul kilab. Talking of food, there was certain Pathan Khansab. On one occasion in the month of Ramadan, he happened to eat past the Sehri time. Sehri time had elapsed. 5 minutes after, he's still busy eating. Khansab is eating. Someone reprimanded him that, Hazrat, Sehri time is long time over. You've gone 5 minutes over already. So he said, NP, no problem. Only thing I'll do to make up for it, I'll break my roza 5 minutes later. Because I started 5 minutes later, so obviously the roza will not be counted. During the British regime once, on a train, Pathan was traveling, and there was an English gentleman also seated. The Pathan was from a rural area, from a small village. He used to go through the train carrying a sack of monkey nuts, which he had boiled at home. He would come and sell it to the passengers. But obviously it was in an old sack. There was some smell emanating from there, which this English gentleman found very, very uncomfortable. So when this Pathan Khan Sahib sat down in front of him with the sack of monkey nuts, he grabbed it from the Pathan and he threw it out of the window. So the Pathan was naturally very annoyed, but it was already out of the window. This English gentleman had with him an attache, probably with very important documents. When the Englishman was not looking, the Pathan got hold of the attache and threw that out of the window. So when the man looked around, he asked, "Where's my attache gone to?" So the Pathan says to him, "It's gone to fetch my sack of monkey nuts." So in those days, there was an emergency brake in the train. You could pull it and the train would screech to a halt. So he pulled the emergency brake and the Englishman got off. It was important documents. The train stopped. He got off onto the railway tracks to pick up his attache. And the Pathan Khan Sahib shouts from there, "Don't forget to pick up my bag as well, my sack also. Retrieve that as well." So nevertheless, very, very important that our eating also, our drinking also, sleeping, walking, talking, everything should conform to the sunnah of Rasul Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today, unfortunately, we take many things for granted. Our spouses at home, wives make all the effort. They cook food for us. Have you ever thought of thanking the ladies at home for the food they have cooked? On one occasion when we were in India, invited by our ustaz, Mufti Ahmad Sahib Khan Puri Dawan Barakatuhum. So, after partaking of the meal, Hazrat read the dua, "Allahumma at'im man at'amana, wasmana, waski man saqana." This dua is normally read by a guest for the host, that, "Oh Allah, feed those who have fed us, give those to drink who have given, provided us drink." So one of the guests was a bit surprised. He said to Hazrat, "Hazrat, this dua is normally read by the guest for the host. You are reading it. You are the owner of the house." So Hazrat said, "I'm making the intention for the ladies in the kitchen. They have provided the food. They have served the food. They have toiled in the kitchen, made all the effort and served the food. So why should we not give them dua as well?" Dr. Abdul Hai Sahib Arifi, Rahmatullah Alayh, famous Khalifa, was a Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh. On one occasion, some murid of his invited him for a meal. He accepted the invitation. After partaking of the meal, which was very delicious, he said to the murid, "Call your wife behind the parda, behind the curtain. I wish to say something to her." So the murid was quite surprised. Nevertheless, the wife was called behind the curtain. And Hazrat Dr. Abdul Hai Sahib went close to the curtain, And from this side, he very politely said to the lady of the house that, "My compliments, the food was very delicious. I thank you for a meal well cooked." The hadith also says, "Man lam yashkurin nas, lam yashkurillah." A person who does not thank the people has not in reality thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he thanked the lady of the house. But she in turn broke down in tears. Dr. Sahib could hear the sobbing from behind the curtain, that she is weeping, crying. So he apologized. He said, "Ben, have I said something maybe out of turn? If I said something to offend you, then please forgive me." So she said, "No, Hazrat, you said nothing out of turn. Nothing you said that offends me. The fact of the matter is, I am married to this man, this murid of yours, for 30 years. Not once did he ever thank me for the meal well cooked. But today you came as a guest, and you are thanking me for the meal. That is why I broke down." So Dr. Abdul Hai Sahib then rebuked his murid and said to him, "What kind of a person are you? Can you not appreciate what your wife does for you?" Some Maulana mentioned this incident in one bayan. So people then anxiously went home that day to thank their wives for the meal that was well cooked. So one man went to the home and he thanked his wife for the meal. She began to cry. She broke down in tears. So he says to her that, "You women are very strange creatures. We don't thank you, you cry. We thank you also, you cry. What is the reason?" So she replied that I'm cooking for you for 15 years. You never ever thanked me. Today the neighbor's wife sent the food and you are thanking me. That's the reason for my breaking down. So that's why if you want to go and thank your wife, first ask her, did you cook the food or did it come from the neighbors? So that you don't see that frying pan coming onto your head. Hazrat Mufti Ahmad Sahib Khan Puri Dan Barakatuh once mentioned that a certain man, it was a habit in his home, every Wednesday his wife used to cook curry khichdi for him. Some people have a routine on a certain day, only a Sunday, only a Sunday, only a certain meal is cooked. Many people cook dar chawal on a Fridays with the result that it is so regular and so constant. Sometimes the grandchildren ask, that is it a sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why is it only dar chawal on Fridays? So nevertheless, this man used to have curry khichdi prepared for him every Wednesday. So he used to eat it, enjoy the curry khichdi, never used to thank her. One day the curry khichdi came from the neighbors. And after he had partaken of the curry khichdi, on that day, out of the blue, he thanked her for the delicious meal. But she kept silent. This lady gave him the cold shoulder treatment. She did not even say it is from the neighbors. The next Wednesday came, no curry khichdi. So he's waiting in anticipation, nothing comes on the table. The second Wednesday, third Wednesday, fourth Wednesday. So he asks her, that what happened to the curry khichdi menu? She replied, making a gesture, that go there and eat it. Go next door if you want to eat the curry khichdi. It came from there, and you complimented the cooking of the curry khichdi. You praised it. So nevertheless, in this are lessons for us to learn. Very many sunnahs, we have to appreciate our wives also. Look at Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That when he used to enter the home, after attending to the needs of the ummah after Isha Salah, sometimes it used to get late, he used to enter the home and make salam, but make salam in a subdued tone, in a medium tone, not too loudly, and not too softly also. There is one sunnah we have forgotten today. When we enter our homes, we do not make salam. We have to make salam, so that we give in du'as to the household people. So, nevertheless, in salam, Making salam, there are various sunnats. One is obviously we are carrying out the practice of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Second benefit of salam, we are giving dua to the people of the household that may peace prevail over you. And thirdly, we are also engaging in the dhikr of Allah. Because as-salam is one of the names of Allah Ta'ala. Al-Malikul Quddus as-salam. So we are also making dhikr. So nevertheless, one occasion, Qari Amir Hassan Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, was in the country. He explained this, that the reason why Nabi Sahib used to make salam in a subdued tone is considering the wife, that in case she is fast asleep, the voice was not so high-pitched as to wake up, disturb her sleep. And if she was lying awake, it was audible enough for her to hear and to reply to the salam. Look how considerate Nabi Karim Sahib used to be. Someone asked Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha that we see the activities of Nabi Karim from outside of the house. What are his activities within the house? So she replied that within the house he also attends to household chores. Something needs mending, he attends to that, We don't even wash one teaspoon in the kitchen sink. Nabi Karim used to attend to household chores, assist his wives. That is the sunnah of Rasul Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is a way how we can appreciate these spouses. So we claim to have love for Nabi Karim Sa'asim. Allah Ta'ala gave us such a Nabi, such a great Nabi, who was the perfect Nabi, that Nabi for whom the entire universe has been created. Yet we do not appreciate his sunnahs, we do not follow his teachings, we do not emulate him in dress, in his eating, drinking, in his way of talking, walking and sleeping. This is indeed very, very unfortunate. Nabi Karim Sa'asim was no ordinary Nabi. He had many great qualities in him. Generosity. Look at his generosity. On one occasion, a person came, a Bedouin came with his need. It so happened on that day, someone happened to donate to the Baytul Mal a whole herd of goats. So Nabi Sam gave the whole herd of goats to that person. He went back happily to his village and told them all, come into the fold of Islam, because this Nabi of Islam gives so much in abundance as if there is no ended to his treasures. In this way, people were encouraged to come to the fall of Islam. Nabi Sam's generosity was such, that the poet puts it very beautifully in a couplet that ma qala la illa fi tashahhudihi lawla tashahhudu lakana la uhu na'amu. That Nabi Sa'asam never said la. La means no. Today you go to Jeddah airport waiting in line to have your passport processed. Everything is la la. They're not prepared to assist. Allah Ta'ala give them hidayat. But nevertheless, Nabi Sa'asam did not have the word la in his vocabulary. He did not turn anyone away. He did not say no. He did not refuse anyone. The poet says, the only la that existed in the words of Nabi Sa'asam is a la that you have to utter when you recite the kalima. La ilaha illallah. Otherwise there was no la in his vocabulary. He used to look to the needs of the poor and destitute. They come to the door, attend to their needs. That was the generosity of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah has given us such a handsome and such a beautiful Nabi that the beauty of Nabi Sam knows no parallel. Yusuf alayhi salam was renowned for his beauty and handsomeness. But as Aisha Siddiqa radhiallahu anha used to say, that my Nabi, my husband, our Nabi is even more handsome than Yusuf alayhi salatu salam. And she used to give one reason, that the ladies of Egypt, they accidentally cut their fingers when they set their gaze on the beauty and the handsomeness of Yusuf alayhi salam. But the followers of our Nabi, they are prepared to slit their throats for the sake of the Nabi. In jihad, on the battlefield, not only their fingers, they are prepared to lay down their lives for this great Nabi of Allah sent to this ummah, and we are that fortunate ummah. Nabi saw some striking features. His handsome features, were such that radiance used to emanate from his face, like that of a full moon. On one occasion, a sahabi sitting outdoors, Nabi saw him resting his head on the sahabi's lap. It was a full moon's night. The sahabi says, Nabi saw him fell asleep for a little while on my lap. When I saw the luster and the radiance of his face, I looked at the full moon. I could not decide which is more radiant, the moon or the face of Rasul Karim Sa'asam. He says, eventually I had to acknowledge that the radiance on the face of Nabi Sa'asam was even greater than the radiance of the moon. When Nabi Sa'asam got married to other Safiya radiallahu anha, who was previously in the marriage of a Jew, she herself was a daughter of a Jewish leader. When she came into captivity during the Battle of Khaybar, initially Nabi Sam took her as a slave woman, then he freed her and got married to her. She accepted Islam. He got married to her. When she came to the house of Nabi Sam, Nabi Sam noticed a little scar on her cheek. So he asked her, how did the scar come about? So she replied, that, O Nabi of Allah, previously I was a wife of a certain Jewish gentleman. One night I saw a dream. In the dream I saw that in the sky is a full moon. And that full moon began descending slowly but surely until it settled in my lap. She says, in the morning when I related the dream to my Jewish husband, he slapped me hard across the face. I asked him, why did you slap me? So he replied, that from now you are seeing dreams of becoming the wife of the Prophet of the Muslims, of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That means even the Jews and the enemies acknowledge the beauty and the handsomeness of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radhiallahu anha used to say in a couplet that lana shamsun walil afaqi shamsu wa shamsuna tatlu'u ba'dal isha'i. That we know the daily sun we see in the sky rising and setting, radiant sun. So there is a sun which Allah Ta'ala has created in the sky. But I have a sun, radiant sun in my own home. And my sun rises even after Isha, in the darkness also. The nur of the face of Nabi Sa'asam brings light even into the household. That is why in one riwayat it mentioned, on one occasion Aisha Siddiqa radhiallahu anha was busy mending some clothing with a needle, and the needle fell out of her hand. She was groping in the dark for the needle, she couldn't find it, when Nabi Sa'asam suddenly entered. As soon as Nabi Sa'asam entered, the whole room became illuminated, radiant. and she easily found a needle that was lying there. This was a noor of Rasul-e Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But at the same time, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had this beauty and noor. At the same time, he had a certain aura, certain awe, whereby even Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in could not get the guts of looking Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam full in the face. That is why many Sahaba used to say that if you ask me to describe the facial characteristics, the features of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am unable to do so because I never had the guts to look straight in the face of Rasul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But among those Sahaba who were fortunate enough to see fully the face of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, among them was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Allah blessed him with this good fortune. Once Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was seated with the Sahaba, and he asked the Sahaba, that what are the three things most beloved to you? All the Sahaba put forward their opinion. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq was asked, what are the three things most beloved to you? So he replied, Al-Malu fi khidmati Rasulillahi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Al-Bintu fi khidmati Rasulillahi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Wal-Nazru ila wajhi Rasulillahi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The third sentence in some riwayat mentioned, Wal-Julusu bayna yadaik. That these are three things most beloved to me. One, that I should spend my wealth for the sake of Rasul Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, for the sake of his deen. Second, that one of my daughters should go into the marriage of Rasul Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and serve him. So these two wishes were granted. He spent a lot of his wealth on Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for the promotion of deen. And his daughter Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha became the most beloved, most cherished wife of Rasul Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the third thing he said, which is most beloved to me, sitting in the company of Rasul Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and looking at his beloved countenance. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu was among those fortunate people whom Allah Ta'ala has blessed. He was able to look at Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was a companion of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at the time of Hijrat, when the two of them were all alone in the cave, hiding from their pursuers. That time also, he got a close look at Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he was a fortunate Sahabi. As far as spending his wealth is concerned, look at how much he sacrificed. When the battle of Tabuk took place, there were very little arms in the Muslim army, very few conveyances. So Nabi Sallam had to make an appeal that whoever has something to donate for this expedition, for this battle of Tabuk. People came up and contributed whatever they could. Usman Ghani Radha was a rich person. He contributed a great amount of wealth for this expedition. On that day, Hazrat Umar Farooq Radha thought to himself that today I will outdo Abu Bakr. I will contribute more than him. He went home and whatever possessions he possessed on that day, half of that he brought along and placed it before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that this is my contribution. So Nabi Sallam became very happy. It was a considerable amount of wealth. Nabi Sallam said to him, you have brought so much, what have you left behind for your family? So he says, I have left the other half behind for my family. I have brought half and left half at home. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq Radhan was not the owner of many possessions. But what little he owned, he brought everything, lock, stock and barrel, and he contributed it for this expedition. It comes in some narrations that in those days, the walls used to be made of mud. So people, their sewing needles, they would then poke it into the wall for safekeeping. Whenever the need arises, they would take it out from there. So needles used to be stuck into the wall. So Abu Bakr Siddiq Radhan brought everything lock, stock and barrel, so much so that he groped through all the walls of his house to see if there were any needles. He even brought those needles. He contributed that as well. He brought everything. So Nabi Sallam asked him, what have you brought? So he said, O Rasul of Allah, everything that I possessed. Nabi Sallam asked him, what have you left behind for the family? He said, I have left behind Allah and His Rasul. That is sufficient for me. Historians write that in terms of quantity, half the wealth that Umar Farooq Radhan brought, in terms of quantity and value, is surpassed the value of the entire contents of the home of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Yet Abu Bakr Siddiq Radhan's sacrifice was greater. Like say for example, today a person owns 1 million rands, he donates 500,000 rand towards a certain cause, which is a great donation. But he's still well off, he's left behind 500,000 rand. Another person possesses only 1,000 rands, and he contributes every single cent. Obviously his sacrifice is greater. There is left nothing behind. That person still has something to make him comfortable. So this was your Nabi and my Nabi. We claim to have love for him. But does that love manifest itself in our lifestyle, the way we dress, the way we eat, the way we drink, the way we sleep? We ought to learn every single sunnah of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and try and bring that into our lives. Then truly we will have love, true love for Rasul Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It will not be merely hollow slogans. It will not be lip service. It will be from the bottom of the heart. And when the time comes to be in the qabr, to identify Rasul Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then it will become inshallah very, very easy for us. Allah Ta'ala make it possible for all of us to develop the true love for the sunnahs of Rasul Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and love for this beloved Nabi Rasul Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and make it possible for us to pass an examination in the qabr. Allah Ta'ala make our stay in the qabr also a bed of roses, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala make our getting up on the day of Qiyamah also in the company of the Anbiya, the martyrs, and the truthful people. Allah Ta'ala make us among those fortunate people whom Allah Ta'ala will declare, inshallah, to enter into Jannat without any reckoning, without going even for a second into the fire of Jahannam. May Allah Ta'ala make us among those fortunate people, inshallah. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah wa bihamdihi.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى سلام على المرسلين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأنزل المقعد مقرب عندك اللهم رب هذه الدعوة القائمة وصلاة النافعة صل على سيدنا محمد وارض عني رضا لا تسخط بعده أبدا اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك وصلي على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وارحم سيدنا محمد وآل سيدنا محمد كما صليت وباركت ورحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وازواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وازواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي وازواجه امهات المؤمنين وذريته آل سيدنا ابراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا ابراهيم وترحم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما ترحمت على سيدنا ابراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا ابراهيم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا ابراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ترحم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما ترحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم تحنن على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما تحننت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم سلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما سلمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وارحم سيدنا محمد وعلى سيدنا محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا وله جزاء ولحقه أداء وأعطي الوسيلة والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي وعدته وزه عنا ما هو أهله وزه أفضل ما جازيت نبيا عن قومه ورسولا عن أمته وصل على جميع إخوانه من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل علينا معهم اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك علينا معهم صلوات الله وسلامه المؤمنين على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما جعلتها على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وصلى الله على النبي الأمي التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله. سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله تحيات الله وصلوات الطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار. نسأل الله الجنة ونعوذ بالله من النار. التحيات لله زاكرة لله طيبات لله طيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليك السلام علينا السلام عليك وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله خير الأسماء تحيات طيبات الصلوات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. اللهم اغفر لي واهدني. اللهم اغفر لنا واهدنا. التحيات الطيبات وصلوات الملك لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله تحيات الله صلوات الله زاكيات لله. السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله. شهدت أن محمد رسول الله. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمد عبده ورسوله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد عبد الله ورسوله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات لله الصلوات الطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. بسم الله والسلام على رسول الله.
Brothers, let us value this night, 27th night. It's an experience of our elders that more often than not Laylatul Qadr takes place on the 27th night. In fact, some Sahaba, I think it was Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala, because of what he used to perceive, he used to take an oath, qasam, that Laylatul Qadr takes place on the 27th night. And this is that night. So let us try and keep the night alive with ibadat, if possible, right till Sahri time, depending on our energy and depending on our fatigue, our liveliness, inshallah. We can engage in ibadat even up to Sahri time, inshallah. If you need to rest, you can always rest after Fajr. Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah, Mufti Mahmud Hassan Sahib Gangawi Rahmatullah Ali, we used to spend at the Kaaba with him, day in Deoband Chatta Masjid also. When he came to South Africa also, Jame Masjid in Lens, Darul Zakaria, Newtown Masjid. On the 27th night, I remember, Hazrat used to personally announce to the people, ke sab log apne apne kaam mein lag jaye. Let everyone be engaged in the ibadat. No time for vanities to sit idle talk. In fact, Hazrat should not even give any bayan on that night. Yet we didn't have a special bayan from the member. Normally, nightly what we read out, an explanation, that is what we had. So, like it is a custom in many masajid, 27th night, long bayans, and then people are so tired, they go home, no time for ibadat. So the Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah actually announced, ke sab log apne apne kaam mein lag jaye. Everyone get engaged in the ibadat. If there are some refreshments after that, quickly we get farigh, get done quickly, and get engaged in ibadat. Because the month of Ramadan is slipping through, this could be the night. So let us not waste opportunity, whatever little possible within our means, let us engage in ibadat, nafal salah, salatu tasbih, tilawat of the Quran, dhikra, durush sharif, etc. May Allah Ta'ala accept from us, inshallah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wasalamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursalin. Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma ya hannan ya mannan ya badi' as-samawati wal ard wa ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Ya hayyu ya qayyum bi rahmatika nastaghith aslih lana sha'lana kullah wa la takilna ila anfusina tarfat 'ayn fa innaka in takilna ila anfusina takilna ila da'fi wa 'awratin wa dhammin wa khatiyyah. Allahumma rabbana alamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min khasirin. اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك وغضبك والنار. اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت. اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت. اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت. اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا. اللهم أجرنا من النار يا مجير يا مجير يا مجير. اللهم أعنا على سكرات الموت وغمرات الموت. اللهم اجعلنا من عتقاء شهر رمضان واغفر ذنوبنا بحرمة شهر رمضان. اللهم أكرمنا بحرمة شهر رمضان. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا حلالا طيبا وعملا متقبلا وشفاء من كل داء. اللهم إنك عفو كريم رحيم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم. اللهم إنك عفو كريم رحيم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم. اللهم إنك عفو كريم رحيم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك من نبيك وعبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك من نبيك وعبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحابه أجمعين بفضل سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.